Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Washington's global war on information has entered new territory. Dissent is criminalized. Questioning authority is treasonous. If you watch this program, you may get a knock on your door. Western elites hold their citizens in contempt. Crosstalking Free Speech, I'm joined by my guest, Margaret Kimberly in New York. She is an executive editor of the Black Agenda Report. In Jersey City, we have Sandra Flounders. She is a co-director of the International Action Center. And in Cyprus, we cross to Dimitri Laskatas. He is a lawyer and freelance journalist. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Margaret, let me go to you first in New York. I'm titling this program, Losing the Argument, because this is essentially what this is really all about. It's not about nefarious agendas or foreign interference activity. No, it's just that the Western world, particularly in the United States, is lost the rest of the world in its messaging. And we'll get to, we can mention Ukraine later. But this is what this is all about. And so what they do is, instead of countering with a better argument, they resort to sanctions. I'm sorry, it's as simple as that. Margaret.
Well, absolutely. That is, especially the Biden administration, relies on sanctions, relies on censorship. They have lost the argument on, not to jump ahead, on Ukraine, but on many other issues. They've lost the argument on Gaza. And all they have left, frankly, is repression. And one of the ways to do that is to restrict information. They work hand in hand with the corporate media, the New York Times. It's like a State Department press release. But RT or Africa Stream or any of these other outlets are smeared, are sanctioned. I thought RT was already sanctioned. I don't know what more they can do to RT, as if, and that's the other thing, as if people were watching RT at gunpoint. It doesn't seem to matter that there are people who want this information, who want independent media, who don't want to be restricted to the media that works with the administration, that works with the state.
You know, Sarah, it's one of the things I find so preposterous is, just as Margaret's pointed out, I mean, people that are watching RT, watching this program in the West, you have to make effort. You have to get a VPN. You have to spend money. And you know, in hard times, spending money on a VPN may be a luxury for some people, but they still do it. I mean, no one is forcing anyone to watch this program, but the more they vilify us, the more people will actually watch this program. Sarah.
Well, I think that's true because people are actively in the millions seeking alternative information. They don't trust anything coming out of the media. And despite a media that's nonstop press releases, the overwhelming majority of the population in every poll is against continued U.S. NATO war, is in sympathy with Gaza, even if they don't understand anything going on. There is a shutdown on every level of all forms of information. And so people, of course, humans are curious. They do go looking for alternative media. But the shutdown of social media is just as systematic. What you can no longer get, and in terms of millions of youth who were in the streets for Gaza, all kinds of spots on Instagram, on YouTube, on X are just shut down on a moment's notice. Folks who had tens and tens of thousands of followers, whoop, they no longer exist. And that's what's happening also on every level. It's happening to RT, but it is happening to all forms of alternative media in the U.S. today. Happens the very historic record. Every RT program over years just was taken off of YouTube, all gone.
Yep.
As a historic record.
Yeah, but Sarah, can you think of one historical example where a power and authority does this and they're on the right side of history? I can't think of one example where they're afraid. When you're afraid, you coerce. Okay, let me go to Dimitri here. Go ahead, Sarah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying it never succeeds. Censorship is really a last resort, and it's a failing resort.
Absolutely. Dimitri, one of the curious things, and I pointed this out on Twitter, and I got a lot of likes, but I got pushback too, which is fine. I'm for free speech. But Dimitri, most of the people, particularly on this program here, people from the West willingly appear on this program to give their views. And their views, in many cases, is not of the powers that be. And this is what they want to punish people. They want to scare people off, a chilling effect of making sure that no one will appear on RT, including this program. Well, it's not working, apparently. Dimitri.
I can give you a classic example of this, Peter. In Canada, where I spend much of my time, and I'm from, there has been a narrative from the government that the claim that the West orchestrated a coup in 2014 in Ukraine is Russian propaganda. That's what they've been saying. I came to that conclusion back in 2014, and it wasn't on the basis of anything, I assure you, anything that the Russian government said. There were basically three main pieces of information. Number one, the conversation between Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, in which she chose the next leader of Ukraine. Number two, John McCain and Victoria Nuland standing beside Ukrainian ultranationalists in the streets of Kiev saying, we support you. And number three, there was a peer-reviewed study by a Ukrainian professor in Canada which showed that a majority of the people who had been killed in Kiev were killed by opponents of the government, not by supporters of the Yanukovych government. And so I made a decision based upon that evidence and other evidence, nothing having to do with the Russian government, that was a U.S. and Western orchestrated coup. And now I'm accused of being a Russian shill because my opinion, which was formed independently of the Russian government, coincides with that of the Russian government. That's ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, also, you know, Margaret, we had Mark Zuckerberg, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, suddenly came out with a public letter that he regretted, his organization regretted being, being instructed by the government not to report on the Hunter Biden laptop. And then, you know, years later say, we kind of made a mistake. Are we going to see this again? Because these are the words here that Meta is using. They are censoring and banning RT news outlets based on the claim of foreign interference activity. Well, that was the same thing that they said back in 2020 on the election. I mean, this is repeating itself, Margaret.
Of course it is, and we're seeing worsening censorship on Facebook. Speaking of which, some of our articles we try to post our Black Agenda Report articles, and they are immediately taken down. We see that it's community standards, and that we're posting spam. It's just an article, and they take them down right away. So the Hunter Biden story, you know, it's Biden himself who made his son a campaign issue by pressuring social media, corporate media, not to report this story and to claim that anyone who said anything about it was following a Russian government line. So I didn't need Zuckerberg to admit it.
Yep.
What I'd like for him to do is admit why they are actively removing independent media posts from Facebook. It's really ratcheted up in this election campaign season. And I'm sure that's part of the reason. They have their thumb on the scale. They know who they want to win, and they believe that the only way to do that is to restrict access to information, and anyone who's critical of their narrative.
And also, Sarah, I mean, this is the latest iteration of Russiagate. I mean, we had the original one. Trump was a surrogate for the Russians, never proven. The Mueller report, all the money, the years, the media, the attention was a complete farce. Hunter Biden's laptop. And here we go again. I mean, this is a, you know, I would have thought it was a one-trick pony, but apparently not. Sarah.
Well, the problem when you try to use the same story again and again and again is it loses all of its resonance. I don't see any. It did have a certain pull, a certain impact a few years back, but now it really only elicits a yawn. And I don't think it changes minds at all. And they jump from one country to another. Russia's interfering in U.S. elections, China's interfering in U.S. elections, Iran is interfering in U.S. elections.
But Sarah, is Israel interfering in American elections?
They'll tell you, of course not. And yet, of course, it is, with tens and tens of millions of dollars, big lobbying organizations, as we all know. So this is what goes on all the time, and yet it loses its ability over a real period of time to impact people's, I think, consciousness or anger. When you're told again and again that it's bots that are running around creating false narratives, I just don't feel that level of concern coming from people today, or anger, except there is a deep feeling that the media, the corporate media in the U.S., lies.
Yeah,
that won't wash away.
That won't wash away. Dmitry, do you feel like the government is protecting you from bad information? I mean, I asked that of my guests, and I asked that of my audience. Do you feel protected by your government when it comes to information?
Peter, there's no one I trust more than myself to judge what is true and false. And I say that because I've practiced law for over 30 years. I've lived in multiple countries. I've discerned, by the way, the legal system in which I practice is based on something called the adversarial principle, which
right.
is that the way to discover the truth is through a clash of ideas and a neutral arbiter deciding who's right and who's wrong in a court of law. We have abandoned that principle outside the judicial system, and we're starting to abandon that within the legal system as well. We've come to the conclusion that the government, our governments in the West, which have repeatedly been shown to be pathological liars, for example, claiming that Israel is defending itself when in fact it's slaughtering tens of thousands of civilians, we are being told that these people are better arbiters than we ourselves, even though the principle of our electoral democratic system is that each and every citizen has the ability to discern right from wrong and truth from falsehood.
All right.
If we don't
Dmitry, I have to jump in here. We have to go to a hard break, and after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on free speech. Stay with RT.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing free speech. All right, let's go back to Margaret in New York. Ukraine has already been mentioned here, and I think it's really very important to mention it again. We had a State Department official's, I think his name is Rubin, right next to Anthony Blinken, who I refer to as the Undertaker on this program. He said, Rubin, RT is one of the reasons the world has been not fully supportive of Ukraine. Well, that's actually quite transparent, and I appreciate the observation, because it's absolutely right, okay? The world isn't buying into their narrative. Why should the global South get involved in a conflict generated by the West, okay? And so this is what really upsets them, okay? Is that the former colonial people won't get in line. They can't get through their thick skulls what their best interests are. I mean, this is a real interesting turning point. And the Global South, on a number of issues, Gaza's already been mentioned here, they're beginning to get their voices clear and heard, and they're not going to be lectured anymore by the likes of Blinken. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, lest we forget, Biden said they would turn the ruble to rubble. They were going to destroy Russia's economy. And how did they do that? By raising oil prices all over the world and hurting global South nations. They're not stupid. And now we see China having a summit of African leaders. We have the BRICS meeting coming up, and they are terrified that the global South nations will change their alliance. We have a multipolar world. It is a reality. And that means that nations are free to have whatever alliances they want, to talk to whom they want, to be friendly with whomever they want, but that's what they fear. They rule by fear, with sanctions, by punishing any country that steps out of line, so to speak, that steps away from their narrative. And that's what they're afraid of, what has already happened. And they cannot stop it. That's the other thing. These are people who think they can stop something that is unstoppable. We're seeing realignments around the world, and that is a good thing. It's good for everyone. It's good for people in this country. It's good for people all over the world. But we have a most undemocratic state in this country, which wants to have complete hegemony over the rest of the world.
And hegemony is bad for people in the West at the end of the day, we should point out, okay? It only serves a very small elite. You know, Sarah, it would be laughable if it weren't so serious is that if you look back, okay, we've already mentioned the 2016 election. We had Russiagate. We had the Hunter Biden laptop. Personally, I would throw in COVID, but we can put that as a sidebar if you want. But, you know, a lot of these things that are called conspiracy theories, they come from the elites themselves. They come from mainstream media. It comes from governments. You know, the rest of us are trying to figure out what's going on. And if we question it, then we're automatically a conspiracy theorist. You see my point. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, this is an age-old trick, you know, that there should just be one official religion, there should just be one official narrative, and it never succeeds. It's not succeeding today. And what the U.S. corporate power doesn't want the people in the U.S. to know, to really understand, is that this is an empire going down, collapsing on every front. Economically, they can't impose their will anymore. There are real alternatives that the people of the world and certainly the Global South are looking at. And no matter how much they lecture, they can't force countries in line. And they're also beyond frustrated that their sanctions on Russia, that they ordered the whole world to follow, were completely ignored. So that is a big problem for them. And they're going to blame, of course, they're going to blame RT. They're going to blame everybody under the sun for the failure of their own economic power. It's lost its position in the world, and it's not coming back. Really, they don't have the productive capacity anymore. So they're trying to impose it strictly through military and censorship measures and saying any discussion of this very different world is off the table, is off limits, is unpatriotic, means you're an agent of a foreign power. Really, I mean, it's beyond ridiculous, the very charges that they're making. Yeah. And yet, but they make it because they can't explain. They refuse to explain. explain what's really happening.
Yeah, that's right, Dimitri, because they just don't have a good answer for what is happening. Their narratives are not believed. They're actually easy to tear apart and deflate. I mean, it's almost, you look at the New York Times and you look at it and say, what are they trying to pull? What are they trying to pull on me now? I mean, that's how I look at it, because it's most of it is so absurd on its face. And as Sarah's pointing out, you know, we see a immiseration of Western populations because of all of this, and they're starting to react, and they're not going to believe the stories that are coming from their elites. Not anymore. Go ahead, Dimitri.
Well, yeah, you're seeing confidence in the mainstream media and the political class in the United States and other Western states at all-time lows. And the greatest conspiracy theory, I think, of the last 5 or 6 years was the notion that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation campaign. This was asserted by dozens of so-called intelligence professionals at a time when the FBI knew that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. Now, one thing I want to add, though, is I don't think this is just about suppressing the truth. I think this is also about antagonizing Western publics, Western electorates towards the geopolitical rivals of the West, so that they will support two things. They'll support much larger military and intelligence budgets. And secondly, they will support much more belligerent policies towards China and Russia, for example, allowing Ukraine to use long-range weapons deep inside Russia. There's really three purposes. Certainly suppressing the truth is a big part of this, but there's more going on here than just that.
I agree with you, absolutely. And because, Margaret, look at the two candidates that are running for the White House. What is the difference at the end of the day? Okay, they can argue about Haitians eating cats and dogs in Springfield, fine. But, you know, what about war and peace? They're on the same page.
Of course they are. That's why Dick Cheney has endorsed Kamala Harris. Dick Cheney, who liberals used to hate, has endorsed her. Why she brags about how many Republicans are supporting her campaign. So what is the difference? If it's very obvious. They're not even trying to hide the fact that the duopoly work together on the issues that are of importance to them. So they can talk about abortion or some other issue, the important issues where they differ, but they're both neoliberal parties. They're both imperialist parties. They both believe in austerity. Neither one has talked about what's good for the working people of this country. The Democratic Party doesn't even pretend anymore. Joe Biden lied and said he wanted the minimum wage to go up. She's not even bothering to lie about it, telling us that that is not going to happen. That is the duopoly. That is what they want for this country and for the world.
You know, Sarah, you know, I grew up in America. You're obviously in America, so is Margaret. I mean, we were all brought up that freedom of speech was a right. Is that turning slowly but surely into just a privilege for the few, Sarah?
Well, it's not a privilege for anyone, and it's certainly no longer even taught as a right. When you look at the complete censorship that's going on, and every political figure today encourages it, is for it, and is for more censorship, more closing down, and they are in complete agreement. You watch a debate, as Margaret was just saying, you watch a debate, and they're saying nothing of substance that's different. You look at in Congress to a vote, they'll get up and pass the military budget. They'll try to make some difference on this or that, presented as two and three different packages. It all sails through. So it's a war budget. It's absolutely a repression budget. It means repression here at home, and it means shutting down any discussion. So is the media have much hold anymore? Less and less so. It really, I do think that the belief, and this happens, the belief in the U.S. by the population here, and even the feeling that there's any choice in an election, third parties are just canceled off the ballot overnight. They feel they've gathered the signatures or done things by the book. Well, doesn't make any difference. So you have increasingly no choice between the two political parties. They don't even pretend it. It's really who presents, who performs a little bit better before the camera. Not are they offering a different message. little bit different on the social agendas, but nothing on the political, on the international agendas of war. And on that, they are sailing right to their own demise.
You know, Dimitri, it seemed we all remember George Bush's global war on terror. Now we have a global war on information, maybe journalism. It's the same program, just a slightly different agenda. Dimitri.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten so absurd that there actually was one truth spoken in the Harris-Trump debate that was extraordinarily important. I think it's the most important thing that was said in the entire debate. And it was said by Donald Trump, and it was completely ignored by the media. And that is, in the context of a discussion about the Ukraine war, Trump reminded people that Russia has a nuclear arsenal. He did it repeatedly.
Yeah.
And there was nothing said about this. Nothing about Kamala ignored it. The moderators ignored it. The entire mainstream media ignored it. And we are on the cusp of a nuclear war.
Well, Dimitri, I guess one other thing, and the other candidate, Kamala Harris, said that no active military personnel are in war zones right now. I mean, that just passed like water off the back of a duck, okay? Because empire in war is not contested. It's not contested. And of course, every time something comes up, it's throw in Iran. Iran's involved in it. That's why that Britain should send its long-range missiles into Russia, because Iran is sending missiles, which has not been verified at all. Margaret, give us 30 seconds of wisdom before we go.
Well, I just know anybody watching us is already watching independent media, so I don't have to make that case. But we all have to be very careful. We're talking about war propaganda. As another guest pointed out, they want us to be ready to go to war. That's why they ignored what Trump said about nuclear weapons. I've never seen such a dangerous time. We've had, for the past 20 years, U.S. presidents unilaterally withdrawing from treaties with Russia, and it's something that is never, ever
We all can agree that we're living in very dangerous time. This is all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Cyprus, Jersey City, and in New York. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, crosstalk rules.